This morning we're going to be finishing up the series within the series. The last couple of weeks, Pastor's been sharing, we've been looking at growing. We've looked at a couple of different aspects. A couple of weeks ago, what was shared, we talked about reorienting or being identified with Christ. An essential part of our growth. And to share that, I want us to really think and remember what was in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The thought of being in Christ, connected with Christ, allowing him to pull with us, work with us in our lives. So we looked at that as the first essential part of growth. Last week, we also looked at walking in the Spirit, and we looked at Galatians 5. And 22 and 23, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. As we looked at these first two parts of how we grow, in kind of a recap, it's relational. We're in relationship with Jesus Christ, and in that, we learn what he desires for us and what he desires in us. But he shares that in reconciliation. And our connectivity is because of what he's done for us. That brings us today, as we wrap up this Grow series, we're going to look at the third thing. The third portion of that is transformation. Now, if I were to ask you a show of hands, how many of us like change? Oh yeah, woohoo. Okay, all two of us? Okay, and oh, maybe three? Generally, we don't. And why not? I'm going to let you talk out loud. Why don't we like change? Yeah.
Takes a while to get used to.
Back there. Fear. Oh, it can hurt. Yeah. Okay, that's enough. Okay, we want to get home before, you know. But, you know, we have, you know, if I asked the same question as why we like change, we'd have heard the crickets. You know, we have a lot of reasons why we may not like transformation. And you know, I think, Pastor, you punt this part for when Jim can preach, and let Jim handle this one. You know, I'm like you. Sometimes I don't like transformation because it hurts. It's a change. It's doing things differently than I've done before. It's becoming someone I'm not now. It doesn't make it any less important than the other two, connecting with Christ or, you know, enjoying the fruit of his Spirit within us. You know, we look in, you know, and we think about what change really is. The word used in the New Testament is metamorpho-o. Pastor shared that before. It's a Greek word. We get our metamorphosis from it. That's one definition of the word. Another one is a change in form. We go from one form to a different form. And I want us to really think about both those definitions. And if those two don't catch you, the third one, this is a Jimism, is just plain being different. Being different than what you were. Being different than what you are now. It's a change in who you are, your makeup. You know, and as we think about that, the best verse I could use for this, and, you know, as we look at this, we go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 2. You know, verse 1 talks about us being a living sacrifice, but Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will, what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, we look at that, and it's easier to read it than to do it. Amen? You know, it's a command. Paul gives this to us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as we look at it today, I want us to really begin to think about how we do that. How are we transformed? It's a change. How do we become something totally different to the nature that we have? It's a change from that sin nature we're born with to the nature God wants us to have. Folks, that's a big transition. That's a big transformation. For a lot of us, it's overwhelming. For me, it can be overwhelming at times. As we look at how we do that, you know, we need to understand that it's relational. We see, you know, it's part of who we are, connected with how God wants us to be and who He is. The example for our transformation, is I think a lot of times, you know, the examples I see are other people who've been transformed. Someone who's embraced this and understood it, modeled it, and lived it. It's relational in the fact that it's only done through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I cannot transform me. I've tried. And I know many of you sitting there, you've tried in your own power and it can't be done. It's relational. We must let Christ do it. Another thing we do, we need to understand that we need to embrace it. You know, you can accept no gift from anyone unless you reach out and take it. We need to embrace transformation. You need to man up or lady up and allow it to happen. The next one was one that I really wrestled with in preparing this message. Is, you know, we look at how we transform, is we got to understand this is the normal design. This isn't something special that we add on. Transformation is planned. It's God's goal for you and for me. It's the normal part of Christian living. God wants us and expects us to be transformed. That's hard to think about. It's hard. You know, and as we think about that, you know, Romans 12, 1 that I alluded to, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice." You know, we've got to die to live. That's an oxymoron, a living sacrifice. Nowhere have I seen in the Old Testament where the sheep lived through it. And I think as I look in Scripture, I don't think that concept bears itself so much in the sheep. I want to use a different one as we look at it. I want to look at Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus is describing to us what the kingdom of God looks like in the kingdom of heaven. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. You know, in a lot of ways, that seed appears to die, doesn't it? You plant it, it's buried, it's gone, you don't see it anymore, it begins to break down. But new life sprouts from what appears to be dead. And it grows. And the picture Jesus gives of that mustard seed in the kingdom of God is your life is like that. Real transformation takes what needs to die in itself and it makes it big. God's plan for us as Christians and his church was not to live little, it was to live big and large. We can only do that through transformation. And, you know, the picture of as we look at this, you know, the thought that, you know, that seed dies and it changes form. It constantly changes. And like that, and that picture of the seed and the mustard tree as it grows is us in the kingdom. You know, that seed doesn't really do the work, does it? Everything in that seed is prepared by God to grow and transform. You know, we need to see and understand that we need to die to ourselves and be alive to what God wants for us. You know, as we continue that thought, you know, in Romans 12:1, there is the word testing. And then 12:1 and 2 is, you know, as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, the thought is to test it. Now, some of us like to test the waters before we jump in. Okay, the older swimmers, okay. We used to jump right in when we were teenagers, right? And now that you're older, how long does it take to get in the water? The picture of this is not the old person sticking a toe in every 15 minutes until the whole foot is in and then, you know, keep going from there. The picture of testing is to jump in. What the word for testing that we need to see here is that we test what's happening in our transformation by being transformed. We allow the changes to begin to take place because I'm going to tell you the truth. We're not going to be fully transformed in this lifetime. And I want us to think of what we're being transformed into. You know, the command has been to be transformed, but what are we trying to be transformed to? To the image of Christ. That's a hard act to follow. If you think it's not a hard act to follow, read the book of James, the younger half-brother of Jesus, who had to learn to live up to that big brother and be like him. Transformation. The goal is to be like Christ. You know, as we begin the testing process, we have two choices. You know, as we look at this, we either become transformed or we don't. I think too often We choose not to. And before I talk about the why, I want to talk about the why not. Why don't we want to be changed sometimes? We know it's God's ultimate will for us, and why, you know, why some people resist change and transformation. And, you know, I think at all points we could probably, you know, at any point we could join that bandwagon and say we've been part of that. But, you know, reasons we resist transformation is we may just plain fear it. All right, that actually came up in the list of why I don't want to be transformed or changed, is we fear it. We may be afraid of what we're going to become. Another aspect of why we may not embrace transformation is we may be apathetic or lazy. This is going to cost me something. I'm going to be different. I may lose some friends. I may be alienated in my family. You know, the apathy and the laziness, we may just not want to do the work involved. We may not want to embrace the change. The last one, I think, as I've been pondering, this is the scariest one of all. Flat out refuse to change. That's a hard one. All right, enough of the depressing side. All right? All right, everyone, get with me. We're going better. I want to do it the other way around, but I like this better. Why do we want to embrace transformation? God has a plan for you. All right? In Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God has a plan. We don't always understand what the parts of that plan are. But if we come to the realization that God does in fact have a plan, it makes this transformation process a lot easier. Because we begin to realize what he wants to make us and how he wants to change us, mold us, transform us. You know, I've gotten into a habit where in my job, I get to be out a lot of times out in the woods, and it's usually pretty quiet except when I fall down. But I've begun to pick a topic for God to teach me and take 2-3 hours and talk to him about it. And as I brought up transformation, it was a difficult conversation. It's hard and beautiful all at the same time. The reoccurring thought that God brings to me, and I think that he probably would bring to you as well, hopefully not, is the question, is what do you want to really look like? What do you want to be? Interesting question. You know, God has a plan to make us something different, to begin to mold us into the likeness of Christ. And I want us to think about what some of the traits of of this transformed life would be. You know, as I ponder the thought of what do you want to look like, I think about the benefits and what we experience. Is in a transformed life, you'll want to look more like Jesus. Has anyone ever accused you of looking like Jesus? Bin Laden? No. You know, I think sometimes Dave Casey, I can pick on Dave, he's not here. Okay. You know, when we were in the Dominican, he was there and they thought he looked like Jesus. There's a whole lot more to looking like Jesus than what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Another thing, another trait of the transformed life, you actually believe that transformation is possible. You begin to let God change you, let Christ mold you and make you, and as we, you know, as we looked last week, the Holy Spirit gives us new life and the fruit of it. When we live that, we begin to see the transformation. And by that testing, jumping in with both feet, we begin to see it's possible. And as we continue to live out that transformed life, and one thing we like to see is that we think it would be something others would benefit by. And seek transformation for others and lives changed. You know, the greatest miracle that I ever see in the Bible isn't so much the healing of someone, it's a soul prevented from going to hell. A life turned around, healed from the inside out. Those are the greatest miracles that I see. Another one I think is important is obedience to God's word becomes important. Not just a lip service thing, not that I know the truth, it's that I live the truth. When we live in a transformed life, in the way God designed for us, obedience is something that's expected. Not because we have to, because we want to. And we live relationally with Christ. You know, I thought about an example that I wanted to share, and you can go to that next slide. This one. Anyone recognize the man in that picture? You may answer if you wish. Josh. Wednesday, the youth group is together. Josh came dressed as me. The funny thing is, not an hour and a half before that, I was dressed exactly that way. Okay, I'm working. It's blue jeans, denim shirt, rubber boots, because it's always mud and you're always going through the briars. You want denim covering everything you have. And a camo hat. All right? The topper for the new man. Or cami. Josh won first place for the costume competition because he was dressed like me. You know what? Josh wasn't me. Josh looked like me. The instant I saw Josh, I knew who he was trying to be. And we laugh at this. I think it's funny. He put on my glasses and he couldn't take it. Let's just put it that way. But as we live our daily lives in a transformed form, just like this, do people see Jesus? Do they see us dressed like Jesus? I just wish my picture would have been a little better. That was taken with my dumb phone, okay? But as we go to that last slide, I want us to think about as we close this time, is do you really want to experience transformation? Do I really want to experience transformation? As we grow in the Lord and we put this part of the series together, think about the growth that takes place in this transformation. You know, if you've noticed the little three different stages of the monarch butterfly that I stuck in there, right? We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're one of the other two forms. We're either a larva, which means I haven't started transformation yet. I just eat a lot and get bigger. The work is in the transition. You know, hanging in that little chrysalis is where the miracle takes place, people. As a child of God and as we grow, we're hanging on to Jesus as that chrysalis. The change we can't do, he's doing on the inside. We can't do it. It's a miracle. It's amazing. And as we close this time, I want you really to think about where you are in our growth stage as a Christian. Do we really want to experience it? Or do we live in fear, apathy, or refusal? You know, if I knew Josh was dressing as me, I would have come dressed as Peter Pan. To look just like him. Without the green tights. But, you know, the picture is, in transformation, we need to look like Jesus. Because we're going to change the world. That's the plan. You know, as we go through this series, we're going to be moving into engaging. How do we be an agent for change? As we wrap up this step, we got to change ourselves. We'll never change the world if we're not changed ourselves. It's got to happen on the inside, and it's got to be Jesus that does it. Amen. Let's bow our heads. You know, as we close this time, I just want to take a moment and, you know, if you're here this morning and your transformation needs a little help or a lot of help, you know, if you have a chance, I just want you to think and just raise your hand as I pray. I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you think your transition needs a little help, transformation, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of hands. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that transformation in our lives is not possible without you. Lord, we can't be like you unless we allow you to show us on the inside how we do that. And that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you accomplish that work. And Lord, help us to want to be like you so that we can show others how to be like you. Help us to know and understand and experience real transformation. Lord, that when people look at your church, capital C, they would see a whole lot of little Jesuses. And that as we walk around our town and our neighborhood and our work and our school, Lord, that people would look at us and say, hey, that looks like Jesus. That's what we want, Lord. Move in our hearts. Make us who you want. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.